Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and jump into today's word. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for that open heaven, God. And I know the worship that went up today has expanded the portal of heaven, God, where heaven can just come and invade us here this morning, our spirit, soul, and body, Father, where we can now come to your word and it can make an impact in our lives to change us, to shape us, and to mold us into the image of what you say we are in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In just a few moments, I'll be introducing someone to you. They're waiting to see you. Been waiting a while to see you, and it's a special guest, okay? But this is someone I want to introduce you to that really will help guide you through the rest of your life. Are you interested now? Yeah. Someone that you can depend on that'll be there for you in the entirety of the rest of your life. I want to introduce you to them in just a moment. I got them waiting, though. They're not coming out just yet, okay? So before I introduce them, I do want to set this up with a scripture. I want them to come out to a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Everybody say everybody.
Everybody.
That means the ones that mocked the Last Supper in the opening of the Olympics. I personally do not watch the Olympics because I don't have time. Never been. I mean, some people love it. That's fine if you love it. It's no big deal. But I do understand that they had a mockery of the Last Supper of Jesus with a bunch of transvestites. The Bible says in the last days there'll be scoffers and mockers of God. I would hate to be in their shoes if they don't get their life right. Because they will appear before the judgment seat of God. Just like you and I will too. So don't worry about them so much right now as you worry about what you're going to be like. I mean, everybody's going to... I'll get on to that later. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one," everybody say the one, "may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether they've been good or bad." Somebody say that's the Bible.
That's the Bible.
So now, let me make sure you understand. When you get called before God at the great judgment seat of God, you're not going to go up there with your family. You're not going to go up there with your friends. You won't go up there with Journey Church folks. Your elders ain't going to be there with you. Your pastors are not going to be there with you. You'll be standing there by yourself to give an account for your life, what you done with it in this earth that either represented God well or you turned from him. Somebody say, that's real as it gets. That's why the Bible says, let each one, not plural, one. Everybody say one. Now, so on that day, the reason you will stand alone before God is you will not be able to go, but them, and they made me mad, and they let me down, and there'll be no excuses. There'll be no buts, amen? There'll be no excuses for you in front of God that knows everything. Got quiet in here now, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, there won't be no one to blame but you. So y'all ready to meet this person? Y'all want me to bring them out? All right, go ahead, guys. Bring them out. Quickly, 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 quickly. Do what you got to do. Come on, come on, come on. Bring them out. Go get them. Take one down, pass it around. This is the person I want you to meet today. Take them down, pass them around. Go over here, guys, over here. Start over here on this side. And while they're getting this person to you today, I can give you a general idea of what they look like. Let me introduce you to the person that will impact the rest of your life. This is the person that will be with you the rest of your life. To impact your life, to lead your life. Everybody get one. I don't want nobody left out. I don't care if you get a pink one or not, guys. Get a pink one. Own your manhood. Everybody say, there's that person. There's that person. Oh, excuse me. Scary. Scary sometimes. Glaring. Who's got the glare? Good. I'm blind some of y'all today. You've been blinded by the light. Look at that. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And I'm going to need one of those when you get all of them passed out. No, you keep yours. Oh, no, you ain't getting out of this either. Am I blinding anybody now? Say hello to your little friend. Go ahead and open them up. We need some up front here. Quickly, quickly, quickly up front here. Just take one down, pass it around. Raise your hand if you don't have one yet. Toss me one, a pretty one. Don't give me no pink one. There you go. I'm owning my manhood. I got a black one. Everybody take your little person out. Get it to where you can see yourself. Anybody need one? Come on, everybody. Now, Wednesday night, I was up here asking people to participate, and they didn't want to, so I started pointing them out. I will do that today. Point them out. Right back here, sir. You right there. Come on. He's like, it's his first time here, and he called me out. But anyway. Some of y'all over here. Come on, young man, right there. Get that. There you go. Beside you. Is that your girlfriend, or who is that? Sister? Come on, girl. Get them up. There you go. Come on over here. Look at that person, because that person is the one that is responsible for where you're at. Don't turn it around to nobody else. Look at yourself. That is the person that is held responsible for where my life is at right now. Now listen, we're not in children's church. You can put them down for a second. We're not in children's church. This is the adult section. Supposed to be the adult section today. I've got one note for you today. And that's all the notes I have. Just one. But it is probably one of the most important notes that'll bless you if you'll get a hold of it. Go ahead and put the first and only note up today. Say that with me. I am responsible for my life and everything that goes on with it. Come on, let's say that together. One, two, three, read. I am responsible for my life and everything that goes on with it. I know that was bittersweet coming out of some people's mouths. And I know you may know how to say that, but do you know how to live that? Because we live in a society and a culture here in America that everything that we don't get has got to be somebody else's fault, and I'm entitled to someone else's stuff. We don't like the word personal responsibility. Amen? So that person in that mirror today, that is the person that is responsible for the choices you've made. That is the person that is responsible for how you let words fling out of your mouth, whether they be blessings of God or curses of God. You're responsible for the words that come out of your mouth. That person in that mirror today is responsible for every success you've ever enjoyed and every failure you've ever failed. Now, you may be saying, well, there are circumstances around my failures. I'm not done. That person in that mirror is the same person that is responsible for every action you've ever showed, the manners you are walking in, the morals you stand up to, and the attitude you have toward this life. That's the person responsible. So start looking to them for accountability. And if things are not going the way you need them to go, look to that person to make the changes in you. Stop looking everywhere else. Stop the blame game. Stop the excuses. There's always a blame and an excuse in our culture today. Wow. Now let's take it a little further. Go ahead and look in your mirror. You're going to be looking in there. Just keep it out today. Don't put it up. And I saw some of you trying to get the light and blind me. You'll have to do a better job. That person in that mirror today is the person that is responsible for where your relationship with God is right now. And nobody else. That same person in that mirror today is the person that is responsible for the level of the anointing of God you operate your life with. That's the person responsible for your anointing. Quiet now. That's the person that is responsible if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost or not. That's the person. Well, I ain't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you haven't, it's that person's fault. Nobody else's. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's that person's fault. Thank you. That person in that mirror today is the person that is responsible for all the spiritual gifts either you have or you don't have. It's that person's responsibility to walk in the maturity of God's spiritual giftings and callings out of the Word of God. It's that person's responsibility. Let me tell you something. That person owes the world the anointings of God. You owe the world a man and a woman that's full of the Holy Spirit, walking in the power and authority and anointing and spiritual gifts of God. We owe the world. That person owes the world that because of what Jesus Christ done. That person in the mirror is responsible for bringing and giving worship to God. It's not the responsibility of everybody else up here for you. It's not the responsibility of the first three rows to be the only people raising their hands during worship. It doesn't matter if you're at the back row or the front row. Worship to God is standard. Lift holy hands before men. Dance, spin, sing, shout, joyful, thankful. Amen. It's that person's response. If he don't get it from them, where else is he going to get it? Welcome to Journey Church. It's that person in the mirror's responsibility for your prayer life. Whether you have one, it's miserable, you only pray when you need to and have to, or you've got a dynamic communication with the Father on a daily basis. It's that person's fault. Well, I don't feel like my prayers get nowhere. Well, just look no further than right there. There's your problem. There's not a problem anywhere else. Not a problem with the Word. There's not a problem with the Holy Spirit. There's not a problem with anything else on God's side. That person in that mirror, I'm going to go to a couple of places before I get through this. That person in the mirror is responsible for how you look and how healthy you are. It's quiet now. I don't like the way my hair is. Well, that person in there can do something with it. I don't like the way I look. Well, that person can probably do something about it if you'll get with them. Now, this next one won't affect everybody, but it will affect your future probably. That person you look at in the mirror is responsible for where your marriage is at today. And there's only one person in that. You're married to someone, but you're responsible. Because so many times it's always our spouse's fault. Well, if he or she would just be this, then we could be. No, no, no. You got to work this out first. And then you got to put your spouse ahead of everything else. If you're here in your marriage, you might, guys might could get together, and I don't know if this mirror is big enough, but y'all can get in there and say, there's a responsible for our marriage. Don't put your kids in there. You just get, come on, so if you got your spouse here today, get in the mirror with them and say, there's our marriage. That's how good it's going to be, or that's how bad it's going to be in that mirror right there. You determine what kind of marriage you want to have by your actions. Can I have a better amen there? Now, you need to know something about that person in the mirror. No matter what excuses you've been taught by our society and culture and psychological things going on today, that, well, I don't have enough. Well, if I had this. Well, if I had what they had. Well, if I had their anointing. If I had their prayer life. That person in the mirror is responsible. Don't look at nobody else. The Word of God has said, and I think I even shared this last week in my notes, but I want to make sure you understand it. I may preach this verse from now on the rest of the year. I don't know. Until you get it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. God's given you everything you need already. The Bible says, everybody say the Bible says. The Bible says, as His divine power has given to us what? All. What does all mean in the Greek? All. God has given to us all things that pertain to what? Life and what? Godliness. Now watch this. Here's how it comes. Through the knowledge of Him, Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue. So that person in the mirror, if you've been born again, you've got everything you need to succeed. You have everything you need to walk as an anointed man or an anointed woman of God. You have everything you need to succeed financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, maritally, and spiritually. You are equipped because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So that person in the mirror is now, according to Scriptures, without excuse. Without excuse. Well, I know I need to be praying more. Pray more. I know I need to be serving more. Serve more. I know I need my marriage better. Make it better. It's that person. It's that person that I wanted you to meet today that's responsible. Are y'all okay? Let me go on into Romans chapter 14, verse 12. It says this right here. So then, each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, notice it said himself, not themselves. This is a person who's going to be standing before God and giving an account for everything on our list today. Our mind, our attitude, our actions, our finances, our marriage, our kids, our home, our church, our servitude, our generosity. Everything will be given an account of that day. How we respond. Our spiritual gifts. Did we even have any? The list of the people that we won to Christ, if you even have a list. Then it goes down into the words of Jesus Christ himself, Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith, everybody say faith. Faith. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say, leave that verse up there. If you say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Now leave that up there. Look at that verse. Who's responsible for that verse? The person in the mirror. That's the person responsible for that verse. Oh, but I got mountains in my way. And you know how the typical Christian is taught to pray? Lord, would you take that mountain out of the way for me? If you could just bless me around this mountain. Lord, if you could just bless this to be out of my life. That's not scriptural. You don't pray for God to move it. God says you speak to the mountain. You, the person in the mirror, the person that's responsible. You and the authority of your identity in Jesus Christ, you speak to the mountain and you tell it to get out of the way. You do it in Jesus' name. But it's up to you, the man and the woman in the mirror, to do these things. God's going up there going, what do you mean you want me to talk to your mountain? I told you to talk to your mountain. I gave you my name. I gave you the authority of my name. I've given you the anointing. I've given you a heavenly language. All you got to do is speak to that mountain and it'll move. But we just mealy-mouth it to God. God, take this from me. He took everything from you on Calvary's cross already. What part of it is finished do you not understand? He ain't doing nothing else but giving you the power in his name to do what he tells you to do. Wow. Now watch verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, which is your faith, you will receive. But now look at that again. Whatever things you ask in prayer. Not whatever things you're trying to get God to do in prayer. Now God is the worker and the author and finisher of our faith. Now that's why he says when you do it in the name of Jesus. You don't do nothing out of your name and out of your vein, but you do it all out of Jesus Christ and his power and authority he's given to you. And he says, I've given you everything that pertains to your life in godliness, and it's through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is that not what we just read in the scriptures? Come on now. I believe it is. I'm not through with that either. Now everybody say, here we go. Oh, Pastor, yes, but. Here's the buts again. The big old buts. But you just don't understand how I grew up. I didn't have the advantages. I didn't have the, here's your political word. I didn't have the privileges others had. I was abused and I was let down and I went from home to home and my grand and this and that and the other. And I hate any tragedy that separates parents from kids. Yes, I hate that. But you're not a child anymore. It's time to grow up and take responsibility for your actions and quit blaming. As long as you got a blame, you will never step up and be what God wants you to be. Let me say that again. As long as you've got a blame, you will never be what God's called you to be. But the day you stop blaming your past or your parents or this or that and the other, and it's always somebody else's fault, and you step up and say, you know what? This is the reason I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but this is the reason I can get to where I need to be. Because this person in that mirror, if I turn myself completely over to God and his word, you better look out. There ain't nothing I can't do. There ain't nothing I can't do. There ain't nothing I can't overcome. There ain't nothing. Everybody say nothing. The Bible says, all things are possible to those who are in Christ Jesus. And the word for all things are possible means that means nothing is impossible for you. You can get out of that debt. You can get out of those friendships. You can get out of that trouble with Jesus Christ. But you can't by yourself. And you can't when you always blame somebody. Whew. And if I had a better marriage, if I had a better spouse. Well, always about somebody else. And some of them are fairly legitimate excuses at times. Not many, but some actually are. But again, there's a time when as a child, you couldn't control what happened to you. You were what's called a victim. But what the enemy and Satan wants to do is take that victimhood and put on you and make you be an adult victim out of it. When Jesus says, here's my love, here's my forgiveness, here's my anointing, here's my restoration, you will no longer be a victim. I will make you a victor over your past, over your emotions, over the mistakes, over the horrors that were done to you. I'll deal with them, but I want you to live your best life in my power. You understand that today? But some of you are so ingrained in your past because that is your identity. And oh my God, what would happen to you if you were to get over your past? Who would you be? How would you get some attention? What excuses then could you have for your behavior? None, and that's your problem. You love your past, you love its attention, you love the excuses, and you think it validates your bad behavior. And you can get away with that while you're down here, but bless God, I done read you. You will stand before a just God who will not take those excuses on that day. He says, I've given you everything. I gave you my son to die for your sins, where you could be forgiven of your past and get over your past and have a future. And I've told you to be about my Father's business, but you're too stuck and locked up in your past to even do my business. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 through 13 says this right here. When I was a child, guess what I did? I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. And my thought process, I thought as a child. But, everybody say but. Here's a good but. It's a nice but. This but works out. I mean, this but does squats and lunges. It is a nice but. But when I became a man, becoming a man is not an age. Becoming a man is not making a living. Becoming a man is when you no longer act and talk and think like a child. There is no number. There's some 40-year-old people in here today, and you're still as big a baby as you was when you were two, because you still pitch the same fits and you still blame the same things. And it's time to grow up and become men and women of God, forgetting what lies behind you, pressing on toward the mark of the high callings of Jesus Christ in your life. But as long as you stay back there, you'll never go there. You'll never go forward staying backwards. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So in other words, you backtrack that. I put away speaking like a child. I put away understanding like a child. And I put away thinking like a child. I started speaking like an adult, not letting garbage and filth come out of my mouth. I began to think and process, this is nobody's fault. I can fix this in the name of Jesus Christ. I can walk through this in the name of Jesus Christ. I can forgive this in the name of Jesus Christ. I began to think like a man. Let it pour on us today, God. I think he's wanting to pour more than just the physical rain. I think he's wanting to rain some Holy Ghost rain in here this morning. I became a man. I put away the childish things. If you have excuses, you haven't put away your childhood. If you're blaming others, you haven't put away your childish ways. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. It don't matter. It's not an age. Maturity, real manhood, is a condition of your spirit, soul, and body. That's what manhood is. Are y'all okay? Now watch this. Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. Now I'm going to come back to that verse in another translation. But I want to look at verse 13. And now abides three things: faith, hope, and what? And love. And what's the greatest? Love. If you don't love people, your faith and your hope ain't that great. If you don't love yourself, if you don't love the person in the mirror, what kind of faith and hope do you really have? If you can't even love what God created you to be? Oh, yeah. Altar time, come on. Exclamation point from heaven. Faith, hope, and the greatest of these is love. And we're living in the most hate-filled, despicable, angry, frustrated, lashing out time that we've ever seen in our life. No thought of what anybody else might have had a bad day. The narcissistic thing that everything has to be my way. Or I've got a right to go off and, as a Christian, pitch a cussing fit, flip you a bird, cuss you out, tell you how sorry you are, and blame you because it happened. Come on. It's where we're living at. It's not God, but it's where a lot of us are at. Look at you, brother, and say it ought not be. These things, in King James, it says, then these things ought not be. Now, everybody say love. What's the greatest? Love. Now, this is not in your notes, but you may want to write this down. Loving Christ. If you love Christ, you will love your way out of your past. When you experience, number one, the love of God in you, and then you pass that love of God out of you, you will love your way out of your past failures, out of your past mistakes, out of your past false identities, out of your past failures, out of your past letdowns, out of your past abuse. You will love your way out of all that junk. And you'll love your way into the full presence of God going forward. For you, your marriage, your family, your church, anything that surrounds you and you have influence over, man, people are going to see a difference. Because love brings a tangible difference in. But when we don't love, we have to have an excuse not to love. Did you know that? You have to have an excuse not to love the way God says love. And what some of you call love ain't nothing more than you like it as long as it's your way. It ain't love, it's like. You like having your way, either in your relationships or your partnerships or whatever you got in life. You like when you get your way and everything's fine. But the first time you don't get your way, what pops out? You know what pops out? The man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror. The real one. Somebody better get that. That's probably the Lord. Tell him I'm preaching. I'll get back with him. Now watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 out of the New Living Translation. Now we see things imperfectly. We do. Like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, what is it then? When we come into the fullness of God, when we come into the full love and nurturing and understanding of the full presence of God in our life, then, everybody say then. Then we will see everything with perfect clarity. You'll be able to look at your past and realize that wasn't your fault. And what the enemy meant for evil, God says, I'm going to bless you to good with it. That wasn't my destiny. Somebody came into my life and abused me. Somebody came into my life and violated the word of God over me. But God does not allow me to stay a victim. I now become the victor over it. See, I see it more clearly now. But as long as you're wrapped up in only you, you'll never see the big picture. You'll never see the forgiveness. You'll never see the going forward. All you'll be is a victim the rest of your life. And again, that's become your identity. And you've got to make your identity push it on everybody else to make them either feel sorry for you, pity you, or whatever it is to give you some attention out of it. Are we really that starved for attention? Because if you're that starved for attention, you ain't in your Bible getting the presence of God enough. Because when you've had the attention of God, everybody else's attention pales in comparison. Did y'all hear that? When you know you've got the attention of God in your life, everybody else pales in comparison. And the ones that God brings into your life, you actually get to enjoy the relationships without the drama. Man, it is a wonderful life. You ought to try it sometime. It's phenomenal. Whew. Let me finish this up. Reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely. Now watch this last part. Just as God now, right now, knows that person. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intentions behind the scenes and out in front. He knows where you're thinking. He knows where you've been. He knows everything you've ever done. I worked in when I was working in manufacturing, I had a guy that the Lord told me to lead to Christ, and he was a knucklehead. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, Lord, please, somebody else. He was a great guy. We ended up being best friends. But I didn't tell him I was a preacher. When I went to work there, I hadn't been working there long, and I didn't announce I was pastoring a church because I was by vocation back then. And I get in there, and we had a commercial running on local TV of our church. And somebody told him, said, that's the guy that's pastoring a church. And so he came running into my little office there, and he goes, after about 3 weeks I'd been there, he pops the door open, and he was my black brother from another mother. He said, Coots. I said, what? He said, is you a pastor? I said, what do you mean, Tim? Come on, man, don't mess with me. Is you a pastor? I knew there was something different about you. Is you a pastor or not? I said, what difference does that make? Is you a pastor? I got to apologize to you. I said, why would you have to apologize to me if I'm a pastor? Because my mama raised me to honor the man of God, and the things I've been doing and acting and saying in front of you don't honor. I need to apologize to you if you a pastor. I said, Tim, let me tell you something. I put my britches on every day just like you do. And I said, you don't owe me an apology. I said, but let me tell you somebody you do owe an apology to. His name is the Lord God Almighty. He's heard everything and seen everything that you've done about him. He looked at me. He said, you is a pastor. I said, yes, I am. I said, but that makes no difference in what God sees or does with you. And he said, me and you need to talk. And I said, I've told you the story. Long story short, it took me one solid year of witnessing to that rat every day, and finally got him to the Lord on a Friday, and I found a job on Monday and got out of there. And then I preached his funeral about 3 years later, after he had been ordained into the ministry, and him and his wife had had a new baby. 34 years old, he clocked in, fell over dead at the Toyota motor plant. But thank God, when I went to that funeral, I knew this man was saved, because God had a divine appointment. And I wasn't too caught up in my world to be in his world. Now, that's the glory of God, not me. But I wished he would have done it in 6 months instead of a year. But anyway, patience is a virtue, the Lord says. But God knows me right now completely. He knows my failures. He knows my faults. He knows my bad habits. He knows my good intentions. He knows everything about me and you. He knows that person in the mirror better than you know yourself. I want to finish up with this. Come on. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Now, it's on the screen out of the New Living Translations, but I want to give it to you first. I want to quote to you out of the King James and New King James versions. Be ye not hearers of the word only, but be ye also doers, not forsaking yourselves. How many Sundays go by and messages and podcasts and preaching on the radio and TV and YouTube and all this do you hear, and it goes in one ear and right out the other? Do you want to know why the person in the mirror is like they are? Because you hear the word, but you don't do it. And it's the person in the mirror's responsibility to hear the word and act on it. Not to hear it and let it go by. Not to hear it and not apply yourself to it. It doesn't qualify to you right now where you're at, because, and then here comes your excuses. And then when your life's a wreck, your marriage is falling apart, your kids have wandered off and doing all kinds of things, and then you want to go, oh my goodness. Ladies, when you let your daughters dress like they ought to be walking the street instead of walking into church, and they 5 and 6 years old doing that, and then you get them twerking, and then you let them grow up and show everything they've got going to school, and then at 16, 17 years old, when they get pregnant, you're going, how did this happen? How did that? I don't understand. Oh, gosh. You promoted what happened. That child don't see nothing in the reflection but what mom and dad let them get away with. James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to this word of God. And I love the word here. You must. It's not an option if you're a child of God. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself. You're fooling the man in the mirror. You're forgetting what you look like. You're only fooling yourself. Next verse, verse 23 says this. For if, and that's the key word, if there, if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. Verse 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law, which is Jesus Christ, that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you. Finish it. Then God will bless you. That's what we like. We don't like that last part because that last part requires me to lose my excuses and get off my lazy butt and go to work. To work at my family, to work at the church, to work in the kingdom, to work at work. To work at work. To do what they've been paying me to do. To work at my worship, to work at studying the Bible, to work at creating a relationship with the Almighty God. See, we love it just to, Jesus set me free. I heard what he said, and God will bless me for hearing it. You will not be blessed by this message today just because you heard it. You will only be blessed by the Word of God when you hear it and then you do it. And I'll close with this, my second closing. Here's what I hear all the time. Well, I tried, and it seems like it didn't get better or it even got worse. Well, imagine that. The enemy's had you where he wants you as a lukewarm Christian or not a Christian at all. And the moment you start trying to go toward God, of course he's going to counter-assault that. Of course he's going to use your spouse. He's going to use your kids. He's going to use your job. He's going to use society. He's going to use a friend. He'll use the church against you. He will use your dog to bite you when you come home for some reason. I don't know. He'll use anything he can when he sees you going after more of God to keep you from getting more of God. Think for a minute. And when that stuff comes against you, it's like, see, I tried. I mean, I gave God like the last 2 whole days. Wow. I'm impressed. You finally gave God 2 days where you prayed and you worshiped when you normally didn't. Let me give you a golf clap. 20 years you've been a lukewarm Christian, and in 2 days you expect the world to be turned upside down because you prayed for more than 2 minutes and you listened to 3 worship songs instead of none. And you want God to fall out and go, oh my gosh. When he's been consistently loving you all your life. He's been sitting there waiting with a hand out the whole time, and you've slapped his hand and turned him away so many times. Consistency, consistency, consistency. Regardless of what's going on, he's worthy. When I have a great day, he's worthy. When I have a sorry day and everything goes backwards, he's still worthy. Worship is not something you do out of your feelings. It's something you do by faith, no matter what is going on. You pray by faith. You do everything as a Christian by faith. Knowing that when you do it, God will bless you for doing it. So when you look, when you take your Bible and you begin to look into the Word of God, you take your phone, whatever it was, and you begin to look into the Word of God. You know what this really is in the context of today's message? This is a mirror that shows you the way God sees you. Woo! You ought to be excited about that. This is a reflection of what Jesus did for you, where you could be everything and do everything he says in his Word about you. So when you open this up, this reveals who you are. This is your new mirror. This is a reflection of who God saw you as when he died and rose again for you. So look, everybody say, look to God's Word. It's like looking into our spiritual mirror. Can I have a better amen? And you need to become assured as you are looking into a regular mirror if your hair's good or not, or if your baldness is shiny or not. You need to be as sure as that as you are. I got my hair like I like it. When you open this up and you begin to read it and receive a reflection, I got my life like he wants it. I got my life like he likes it. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing now. Here's the corrections I'm having to make to be what God called me to be. Here's the things I'm giving up, but here's the things I'm getting. Woo! There's a bigger list of what you get than what you give up. I promise you that. Can I have a better amen there? You got to see it from God's Word. When you begin to see your life from anything else but God's Word, you're always going backwards. So you got a choice today. is this going to stay the same? Or is it finally going to be responsible and start reflecting the Word of God? This is who you are. Third and final closing. And I think I've said this here before, but I want to give you one last illustration before we go. Do you know you've never seen your face? You've never seen yourself. You don't know what you really look like. Well, I reckon I do. You just gave me a mirror. Right there it is. Look at you. Tell me I ain't never seen myself. I've never seen my face. You've seen your hand. You've seen your elbow. You've never seen your back. You've never, and some of you, if you cross your eyes real good, you might see your snout. According to how big or little. I can see mine. I've never seen my eyebrows. I've never seen my chin. See a little bit of my lip right there. But I've never seen my face. Well, what do you think this is? It's a mirror. I'm seeing a reflection of my face. Let me know you trust this mirror. That's why you look to it every day before you leave. And my God, can we please buy some people that mirror works? Can we please get some people a mirror that works before they leave the house? Because you took time out of your day and jumped in front of the mirror and said, yeah, that's what I want to present. Come on. That's what I'm going for. And you know when that mirror doesn't represent God, you know what you're going for? Attention. That's all this weird stuff is. It's just pay me some attention. I want to get a reaction, even if it's bad. But you, praise the Lord. But you get in that mirror, and you make sure it's fairly good, presentable, hopefully. And you make sure your clothes and everything is in proper place. And you trust the mirror before you leave to go out into the world, right? Come on, everybody say right. Why can't you trust this to show you the reflection of your spirit? And make sure you're right here before you go into the world and present. It's time to get the mirror to the Word of God. Stand to your feet this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, that person in the mirror is lost and going to hell. That person in the mirror has never surrendered themselves over to anything, much less Jesus Christ. And my friend, I want you to know Jesus still loves you, but he cannot receive you into heaven except on his terms. And that is for you to surrender your life and ask him to come into your life and lead your life as Lord and Savior. And you give your life to him and his word. And that's nobody's responsibility except that person in the mirror. We all have a responsibility to preach the word of God with our life, but you have the responsibility to say yes. Let me tell you something why you have to do that. Because you cannot forgive your own sins and you cannot pay your own sin debt. Jesus Christ has done both of those. But you have to receive him and turn your life over to him and follow him. And if you've never done that before, here's the way we do it here. No strings attached. We don't ask you to join church today. Matter of fact, you say, I want to join. Well, don't worry about that. We just want to make sure that you get your life under the blood of Jesus Christ and your sins forgiven. And that you get out of here a new creation in Christ. God will tell you where to go to church later, okay? That's not the big issue. So no church attendance today. No church membership today. And we will not say, oh, now you're Baptist or you're Assembly of God or you're Church of God. No, we don't give you religion. We give you relationship. It's not about a religion. It's about, do you have an authentic personal relationship where you've surrendered your life to God and you've become a new creature because your sins are forgiven and the weight is lifted. And now you can look in the mirror and go, man of God, whether you feel like it or not. Amen? So bow your heads with me. If that's you here this morning and you want to today, right here, right now, not waste any more time, just lift your hand up and say, today's my day. I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want to start fresh in you right now in the mirror. Anybody in here? All right, maybe online. But how many would say today that mirror didn't lie what I look like? And there's some things in that mirror that needs to change. So if that's you, and I'm lifting mine first, I still got work to do. I'm not there yet, guys. But I know the mirror don't lie, and I know the Word of God don't lie. But I know the Word of God is for me, not against me. That person in the mirror can lead me to hell. That person in the mirror can lead me to a lukewarm life. That person in the mirror can take me backwards into sin. That person in the mirror wants me to make it all about them. But the reflection from the Word wants me to make my life about Jesus and work on everything I have. So, Father, you've seen the hearts and you've seen the hands that have been lifted up here today. And we come to you and say, help Jesus. But, Lord, you've given everything we need to have as help. So, Lord, help us understand and respond and act and not just hear today. And may we be able to look into the mirror tonight before we go to bed and say there's change coming. There's change of the Lord coming in the name of Jesus. And may we start getting into our spiritual mirror more than we do our physical mirror. Come on, somebody say, that's me, Lord. Come on, say, I want that, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.